This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 727 as we approach the third year of genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Israel has killed at least 429 Palestinians and injured more than 1,500 between September 24th and October 1st, according to official records from the Ministry of Health in Gaza. The Israeli army has continued to intensify its attacks on northern Gaza and Gaza City in particular. On September 27th, journalist Saleh al-Jafarawi documented Israeli helicopter gunships and drone artillery firing heavily in the north. In Gaza City on September 29th, reporter Hassan Salem captured Israeli airstrikes on several buildings in one residential block close to Al-Shifa Hospital. The Mecca residential tower in western Gaza City was bombed by the Israeli army also on September 29th. Journalist Khamis Al-Refi captured the explosion on video. James Elder, the spokesperson for the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, recorded himself at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in central Gaza on September 26th, as children poured into the emergency room with injuries from Israeli quadcopter fire.
This is just absolutely out of control. I promised myself the first story about being back in Gaza would be just some of the incredible volunteers and the joy they're bringing to kids, even in hospitals, and I'm here. And the first room I'm in, there are four children who have all been hit by quadcopters, four children. And then we're in a makeshift ICU, a makeshift intensive care, because there are so many children. And all four of these children have been hit by quadcopters. 2 minutes later in the ICU, sitting with this little girl, Aya, who is 5 years old, and she died in front of us. Then there's a little girl, Sham, who just got raced in here. Sham has just been raced in here. She's been pulled out under the rubble, but they can't find her mum, and her sister has died. And then there's this little guy, Barra. He's got shrapnel in his neck. I mean, I can feel Barra's feet, mate. Barra's cold. Barra's in a critical condition, as was a little boy just over here on the floor who'd been shot. He was lying in his own blood for 5 hours in the corridor. Finally, when doctors found space for him on a bed, as soon as he left the corridor, another wounded child went onto the floor. And this little boy who was bleeding, his mother was just screaming to him, saying, "Who around the world allows this to happen? Who around the world allows this to happen?" She asked and she asked.
Also in central Gaza, the UN Human Rights Office documented the killing of nearly 90 Palestinians in at least 12 separate Israeli attacks in Nuseirat and Al-Zuwaida areas over 5 days between September 24th and 28th. Those attacks include strikes on the tents of displaced families, residential units, and inside refugee camps. In addition, the UN says the Israeli military has reportedly launched airstrikes from drones, as well as fired artillery and live gunfire, quote, against those gathering firewood, especially in northern central Gaza, causing dozens of casualties. Israel has completely blocked the entry of cooking gas since March 2, 2025, forcing people to rely on wood, mostly derived from flammable debris from destroyed buildings and broken furniture, as the only available source of fuel for cooking. As part of Israel's stated and open intention to expel all Palestinians from Gaza City and elsewhere in the north, the Israeli army has closed Al-Rashid Street, the main north-south artery along the coast for traffic going in and out of Gaza City. Israeli War Minister Israel Katz boasted that Gaza is now formally divided into north and south, and the closure is intended, quote, to tighten the encirclement around Gaza City, requiring anyone who leaves southward to pass through Israeli army checkpoints. Katz added that this is, quote, the last opportunity for residents of Gaza City to move south, further threatening that, quote, those who remain in Gaza will be considered terrorists and terror supporters. The Gaza government media office stated that this arbitrary measure, quote, falls within the framework of the occupation's ongoing policy of oppression, blockade, and genocide against our Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. Israel continues to bomb hospitals and the areas surrounding them. On September 30th, reporter Saad Hezbollah filmed the Israeli army firing gas bombs near Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. At least 11 unidentified Palestinians were buried in a mass grave inside the hospital's grounds on the same day. Photojournalist Mahmoud Aliwa filmed workers transporting the bodies and burying them inside a large gravesite next to the hospital as drones buzzed overhead. Israel bombed the grounds of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital on Wednesday for the 15th time, according to the Gaza government media office, which said that Israel targeted, quote, a group of displaced citizens within the walls of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in the central Gaza Strip. Two people had come to the hospital for treatment and were subjected to bombing near the new internal medicine department. This criminal bombing, the media office added, resulted in serious injuries and extensive material damage and posed a direct threat to the lives of dozens of patients inside the hospital. It also endangered the lives of more than 70 journalists and media professionals, as the bombing occurred just meters away from them while they were covering the events and developments of genocide, aggression, and forced displacement. Israel bombed Al-Helu International Hospital in Gaza City on September 28th. Ismail Al-Tawabta, the director of the Health Ministry's media office, told the Anadolu news agency that the Israeli army shelled the hospital with two missiles, making the entry to or exit from the hospital impossible. Quote, doctors and patients inside the hospital are living in a state of terror and severe fear, which has been worsened by the occupation's deliberate cutoff of the hospital's internet network to isolate it from the outside world and suspend medical services for civilians, the Webta said. People recovering from complex orthopedic surgeries were captured on video evacuating the hospital in wheelchairs. The Samir Project, a mutual aid organization in Gaza, filmed people after they were forced out of the hospital by the Israeli army amid quadcopter fire, shelling, and sniper attacks. One man says that there is no place for him to go and that the Israeli military vehicles kept advancing toward the hospital. Israel continued to attack rescue crews this week. On September 30th, in Al-Zaytun neighborhood in Gaza City, Mahmoud Basal, the spokesperson for Gaza's civil defense, said that Israeli forces directly targeted their staff with a drone while they were on a humanitarian rescue mission at Al-Falah School, where displaced families had been sheltering. Seven civil defense personnel were injured, and rescue worker Mundar Rahed Al-Dahjan was killed. Basal said that more than 30 members of the civil defense have been killed in the last 2 years. Quote, the person you see in this shroud is a human being, Basal said, who has the right to live, who has the right to get married, who has the right to live like any other human being in the world. But the occupation has deprived him of the most basic right in existence, which is the right to live. We will continue this humanitarian service because it is truly humanitarian to serve our people. On September 29th, a nurse at Nasser Medical Complex, Marwan Abdin, was shot in the head as he stood in the doorway of a room inside the hospital. Journalist Hussein Kheres filmed this clip.
Yes, he's one of our medical staff. He was shot inside the complex, as you can see. It's now He's in very critical situation. I think he's going to pass away. Oh my God.
Another attack on medical services injured paramedic Omar Abdu Al-Mazza on September 29th, while he and rescue crews were working to evacuate wounded people from under the rubble of a house in western Gaza City, and the Israeli army bombed the same area again. The home belonged to family members of the Hasira clan, who were targeted along with other local families after Israel's Shin Bet intelligence agency began pressuring them to cooperate with its operations in Gaza. Community elders were reportedly asked to form local armed groups, manage and police aid distribution, fight Hamas, and pass intelligence to Israel, according to Israeli and regional news outlets. The families had refused such demands and say that they knew reprisals against them would happen. Euromed Human Rights Monitor says that it gathered testimonies by families who were, quote, forced to choose between remaining under siege and bombardment with no shelter, food, or medicine, and forced displacement into unknown conditions lacking basic life necessities, all under explicit threats of death if they refused Israeli orders. These testimonies, Euromed adds, show a deliberate policy to break civilian will by using fear and destruction as instruments of subjugation. This is a dangerous policy of extortion by Israeli forces against families in the Gaza Strip, the rights group says. Quote, what began as individual extortion has escalated into a systematic, collective practice aimed at dismantling Palestinian social fabric by forcing people to betray their communities and subordinating survivors to survival conditions that destroy communal identity and resilience. The pressure has shifted from targeting individuals to organized collective extortion that places entire families before a horrific equation. Join militias created by Israel or face persecution, mass killing, starvation, and forced expulsion. A coordinated attempt to eliminate Palestinian society or reduce it to submission under occupation control. One massacre, Euromed states, carried out on September 27th against the Bakr family in the Beach refugee camp that killed 9 family members, including children, quote, occurred one day after the family refused an Israeli demand to remain in place on the condition that its members form and serve in a local militia aligned with the army, similar to the Abu Shabab gang established east of Rafah. Euromed Monitor's field team reported that Israeli forces have begun forming similar groups in multiple other areas of Gaza, including South Khan Yunis, East Shujaiya, and Beit Lahia in the north. Starvation is continuing to kill Palestinians across Gaza. On Wednesday, the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza said that it had recorded 2 more deaths due to malnutrition, including a child, over a 24-hour period, bringing the total recorded number of starvation deaths to 455, including 151 children. And local infrastructure agencies in Gaza say that Israeli attacks are further depriving Palestinians of clean water. Al Jazeera's Ibrahim Al-Khalili reported that more than 75% of Gaza's central water wells are out of service because of Israeli attacks. And the Electronic Intifada's contributor, Asim Al-Nabih of the Gaza municipality, told Al Jazeera that people are getting less than a quarter of their daily water needs. Israel killed at least 3 more journalists in Gaza this week. On Saturday, the Gaza government media office confirmed that Mohammed Al-Daya of the Palestinian Media Center was killed. The media office also confirmed that Sami Daoud, who worked as a reporter for Rawafed TV, was killed on Tuesday. Also on Tuesday, in Deir Ebalah, photographer Yahya Barzak was killed in an Israeli airstrike. He was a contributor to different media outlets and was a skilled and beloved portrait photographer of newborn babies before the genocide began. With these deaths, Israel has killed at least 254 reporters and media workers since October 2023. On Wednesday evening and into Thursday, in international waters where Israel has no jurisdiction, Israeli naval ships blocked, arrested, and kidnapped hundreds of activists aboard the Gaza Samud flotilla. Some were attacked by Israeli water cannons as they tried to evade Israeli naval hijackings and continued toward Gaza's shores. As of airtime, all 44 boats were blocked and hijacked. The flotilla intended to break the criminal siege on Gaza and had been sailing from southern Europe carrying food, water, medicine, diapers, baby formula, and other essential supplies that Israel has blockaded from Gaza as part of its genocide. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition stated on social media that, quote, Israel has attacked the global Samud flotilla in international waters. People of conscience have been abducted. The flotilla broke no laws. What is illegal is Israel's genocide, Israel's illegal blockade of Gaza, and Israel's use of starvation as a weapon. Unarmed people of conscience abducted in international waters. This is piracy. This is kidnapping, the coalition stated. Footage from the Anas al-Sharif boat, which was hijacked by Israeli soldiers early Thursday morning and was named after the Al Jazeera journalist who was assassinated by Israel in August, shows Israeli soldiers taking over the boat and disabling the live camera feed. Earlier on Wednesday, just days after it announced that it was accompanying the flotilla with a naval ship, the Spanish government withdrew and turned back, saying that it had respect for the humanitarian mission, but that it urged the flotilla to avoid confrontation with Israel. Italy had also sent a ship to escort the flotilla as well, but it turned back earlier in the week. Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, who was aboard one of the first boats to be intercepted, the Alma, recorded this clip just before Israeli soldiers boarded the boat and abducted everyone aboard.
My name is Greta Thunberg and I'm currently on board the boat Alma as part of the Global Samud Flotilla, a peaceful humanitarian mission to deliver aid to the civilian population of Gaza and to break Israel's illegal and inhumane siege. And it is likely to believe that we will be intercepted tonight by Israel, which would be a blatant violation of humanitarian and maritime law. Israel is not immune to international law. They must be held accountable for their war crimes. Stop the genocide, stop the occupation, and free Palestine.
We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight Nightmares Asleep, Nightmares Awake by Ali Skake, writing from Gaza. Ali writes about Israel's bombing of the Al-Jundi Al-Majhul Tower in Gaza City a few weeks ago, which was adjacent to where he lived. The bombing, he says, turned the night crimson, streaked with a dim white light. After the bombing, Ali says he went back to his apartment, which he and his family began renting in 2024 after returning to Gaza City from the south. Quote, "It was unrecognizable when we entered. Everything bore the marks of the nearby shelling. Shattered glass littered every corner. Wooden doors had been ripped from their frames, some splintered into pieces, while aluminum window frames had been reduced to fragments. The sofas were half torn. The fridge was split into four. The washing machine had been rendered useless. The sink was smashed, and the sewage system was completely destroyed. Two of the four solar panels lay broken on the floor. Most of my university books, which I had left on the balcony, were torn apart. Even my mattress was ripped in half. Still, we returned to the apartment to clean and to repair what we could. When night fell, I laid my head on the pillow, trying to find sleep. But almost every night, once my eyelids began to close, nightmares strike like sudden flashbacks. I see myself running through blazing red flames, thick gray dust clouding my vision. I'm carrying too much and things keep falling from my hands. Crowds surround me in a distant circle, silent, unreachable. The only sound is relentless bombing. I feel lost. I search for someone to help. I wake up sweating, my breathing rapid, my heart racing. I realize it is just a nightmare. This, a horror Israel has inflicted on me in my sleep. There is no relief in waking up, however. Israel has inflicted a real nightmare on me and everyone in Gaza City when it ordered us to evacuate to the south. Maybe the south is less dangerous than the north, but it is not a safe zone, as they claim. What's more, there is not enough space for all the people of Gaza. Dangerous or less dangerous, we are all destined to die one day. My family and I decided not to go south. If death must come, it can find us in Gaza City, the place where we were raised and where we took our first breaths and our first steps, the place where we became who we are. Those are excerpts from Nightmares Asleep, Nightmares Awake by Ali Skake, an English student and a writer in Gaza, on electronicintifada.net. And now, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Gaza and around the world. We go back to the Global Samud Flotilla to Gaza, where activists on one of the boats sang a version of the anti-fascist Italian song Bella Ciao just before the boat was hijacked by Israeli soldiers in international waters.
Viva Palestina! Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 viva, viva, Palestina. We'll be free from the river to the sea. Viva, viva, Palestina. Bella ciao, bella ciao.
And just a few miles away, on the shores of Palestine's Gaza Strip, musician Mohanned Abu Qamar and his friends sang for the honor and freedom of the people on the flotilla and in Palestine.
أشهد التاريخ أن أحرار وأبطال هذه الأمة هم على أسطول الحرية.
اشهد يا عالم أسطول الحرية شرفاء الكرة الأرضية انقضوا لغزة ما خافوا من الموت لا يصدح صوت الحرية. اشهد يا عالم أسطول الحرية شرفاء الكرة الأرضية انقضوا لغزة ما خافوا من الموت لا يصدح صوت الحرية.
And finally, Italian union workers and activists who promised to shut down the country once again in a general strike if the flotilla was impeded began their mass protests and strikes on Wednesday evening. Giovani Palestinesi d'Italia, the Palestinian Youth of Italy movement, uploaded this video from Rome on Wednesday evening. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.